at wellspringtv.org, live at wellspringtv.org. And also there is a mobile number, and you can reach us by mobile. We also are on Twitter, and we are on Facebook. You find us all over the place. And remember, Wellspring is the place to be. And we say here locally that time spent at Wellspring is time well spent. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. And I pray that the word that God has laid on my heart will be a real blessing to you today. We're right at the start of a new year. It's only 4 days old. And my prayer is that the things that we share from this pulpit and from God's word will help you and help each person here to have a blessed new year. It won't be like other years, but it will be a blessed new year. So thank you for joining us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to be in your house on your day with your people. David the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And we were glad as we thought about today, as we thought about this special day that we meet together around your table to share communion and around your word and to have fellowship one with the other. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we are not in the presence of someone who has changed, but as we sang in one of our hymns earlier, you do not change. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And we thank you for your precious word of truth. You've said in your word, in the Psalms, that your word, Father, it's a light to our feet and it's a lamp to our path. And so I pray as your servant this morning, I pray that you will guide me by the power of your Holy Spirit. You know who's watching and you know who's here in the sanctuary this morning and you know the needs. I pray that you will help me, that you will guide me by your Spirit so that as I speak, as I share from your word, I will address some of those issues that people have in their lives. I pray you'll bless the broadcast, whether people are watching live or watching a recording. I pray that you will take care of all the technical stuff and you will ensure, Father, that both vision and audio are clear. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so today is part two of a three-part message. I think it'll be three. I reckon I'll finish it next Sunday, God willing. Part two of a three-part message on the subject of happiness. By way of introduction, last Sunday I was saying that we are used to saying to people, happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy Easter, happy Christmas, happy birthday, lots of happy occasions. And when we say it, we want the person to be free from worry, anxiety, free from sickness, free from anything that would disrupt their happenings. And we said last Sunday that for a lot of people, happiness depends on happenings. If everything that's happening is to their liking, then they're happy. But oh, let something go a little bit wrong, and things quickly change. And so last Sunday we talked a lot about joy, one of the main ingredients of happiness, that if we get the joy issue sorted out, then whatever comes our way, we will be happy. And there's that song that Brother Sherland and Sister Sylvia sang a few moments ago, talked about songs in the night. I'm glad you sang that because I'm going to be mentioning that later on this morning. And so what I want to do is to revisit the message of last Sunday. So before you start thinking, oh, I've heard it all before, you haven't. Before you think, oh, I needn't have come this morning, yes, you must have come. Because the Bible says, don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. But I want to revisit, I'm not going over the same outline, but I want to revisit the message of last Sunday. Because I want to amplify a few things, and then I want to move on in this message. And God willing, I'll finish next Sunday in the will of the Lord. So let me begin by asking the question, what are the ingredients of happiness? Because if we can get the ingredients right, then we will have true and lasting, we'll have genuine happiness. So first of all, and I have a few things that I want to suggest, and I'll suggest some more next week. First of all, I believe right at the number one, it has to be a right relationship with God. By way of scripture, it's Psalm 144 and it's verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15, the Bible says, happy is that people. Happy, and when you look at the scriptures, and those of you who are Bible students will know, it doesn't just say happy. If you look into the background, into the meaning, you'll find words like blessed, privileged, highly favored. Not just happiness, not just happy, but blessed, privileged, highly favored. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And when I think about God, my mind always goes to what the Apostle Paul said in one of his epistles in Ephesians. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God I'm talking about. And I say with respect, if your God, the God you're worshiping, the God you're praying to, is not the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the wrong God. Because the right God is the one who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The right God is the one that you read about when you open the Word of God, open the Bible. In the beginning, God. And so when I talk about God, it's that God I'm talking about. It's the true and the living God. The God who says, before him there was no other, and after him there'll be none. And he's not going anywhere. He says in Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Hallelujah. Our God doesn't change. You don't get memos coming round like you would in a workplace saying, oh, by the way, you know I said such and such in Chronicles 3 and verse 4. Well, I want to change that. Hallelujah, our God doesn't change. You can depend on him and depend on his word. So happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about relationship. And I'm not talking about speaking the language of a Christian. I'm talking about actually living the life of a Christian. There is a difference, and I can show you. Matthew 7:21. Can we go there? Matthew 7:21. Jesus is speaking, and he says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who gets into heaven? The people that do the will of God. Question, are you doing the will of God? Or are you doing your own thing? So Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, notice this. Many will say to me in that day, that's the end of time. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here are people who have the right talk, but the wrong walk. Here are people who speak the right language, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Jesus said, I never knew you. So I say again, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about speaking the language of the Christian. I'm talking about relationship with God. And I'm talking about actually living the life of a Christian. And the Bible says, the Lord, he knows those who are his. The Lord knows about you this morning. If you're a child of his, if you're a child of God, he knows about you. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. He knows every detail about you. He knows your thoughts. David the psalmist said, he knows even my thoughts. He knows when you rise. He knows when you go to bed. He knows everything there is to know about you. I'm talking about relationship with the living God. Job said this in Job 19:25. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter time upon the earth. Do you hear those words of positive testimony and confession? I know. You meet some folks and they say, well, I hope I make it to heaven. That's not good enough. You don't have to go through your life hoping and wondering. The Bible says you can know. John said in his epistle, he said, I've written these things that you might know that you have eternal life. That you might know. Job says, I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to, or his letter to Timothy rather, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, and thank you, Victor, for the scriptures this morning. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Great words, are they not? I know whom I have believed. Notice, and I am persuaded that he's able. Are you persuaded this morning, this fourth day of the new year, as you go into 2015, are you persuaded that God is the same, that this scripture above my head, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, are you persuaded that that is true? Are you persuaded that God is for you? Are you persuaded that God is on your side? Are you persuaded that God loves you? Are you persuaded that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think? If you are, say amen. Amen. Thank you. And if you're watching, then I hope you are able to say an amen as well. God says, if you want to please me, he said, there's only one way to please me, and that is believe. He says, believe that I exist. Believe that I am real. And then he said, from there, we can go on and have relationship together. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me tell you a story. The banqueting hall was packed. And it was packed to hear a world famous orator who had been flown in specially to entertain the large audience. After the auditor had recited a number of famous pieces, he asked the audience if anyone had a special piece of literature that they would like him to recite. If they had, he'd be very happy to oblige. An elderly retired clergyman stood up and with trembling voice said, Sir, would you please recite the 23rd Psalm? I'd be happy to, said the orator, if when I have finished, you will come up here and also recite the 23rd Psalm. The old gentleman agreed. And when the orator had finished reciting the 23rd Psalm, there was thunderous applause. Then the old man made his way to the stage and he began, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me, before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the elderly gentleman had finished reciting the 23rd Psalm, there wasn't a dry eye in the banqueting hall. And then the entire vast audience stood to their feet and gave the old gentleman a standing ovation, and they clapped enthusiastically and loudly for several minutes. The orator said, "Ladies and gentlemen, when I recited the 23rd Psalm, I reached your ears. But this elderly gentleman, he has reached your hearts. And the difference is, I know the words of the 23rd Psalm. This elderly gentleman knows the shepherd." And ladies and gentlemen, that makes all the difference. That's what I mean about language. Someone listening to me now, either here or on the broadcast, and you've got the language. You've got the language. If I said to you, "Do you have a favorite hymn?" You could say, "Oh yes, I have." "Have you got a favorite Bible verse?" "Yeah." You've got the language, but the question is, have you got the relationship? Because that's the foundation to happiness. And those who agree say amen. Amen. Bless you. Another ingredient of happiness is the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to revisit these because there's a few things I want to say extra than I did last week. The power of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 5:18. He said, "Be filled." And those of you who are Bible students will know that he means keep on being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Speaking to yourselves in moans and groans and complaints. Oh. No, that's how some people seem to read it. But Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at this, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Oh, into my mind has just dropped, "Come ye thankful people, come." Well, it's not harvest, so we won't sing it. But we need to be a thankful people. Amen? Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself, but speaking to each other. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you and I, we have so much to be thankful for, have we not? I stand here, I can see you, I can hear you, I can speak, I can sing still. Some people might say that's debatable. Ah, exactly. But you know, I was talking to the Lord the other day. Oh, I speak to him every day. But the other day, I was saying, "Lord, thank you." I was in the car driving along. I was thinking, you know, I'm so blessed. I'm still driving. You know, and God's given me this ability to jump in the car, switch on, go. I am so blessed to be able to do that still. And if you can, praise the Lord. Amen. And you see, you hear. Yeah, some of us, as we get older, the body gets more frail perhaps. But we're still mobile. We're still getting out. Hallelujah. And even I believe that that body of yours, which may not be serving you the way it once did, I do believe in divine healing. I believe that God can touch us. The Bible talks about renewing our strength like the eagles. I've never seen an eagle with a crutch. You know, one of those things that you lean on. And so sometimes I hear people saying, I fear old age. I'm not going to fear old age. The God that kept me when I was a baby will keep me right through to the end, till I go to be with him. And he says in Isaiah, I don't have the reference, but he says in Isaiah, I who carried you when you were young, I will carry you when your hair turns gray. That's the translation according to James, this James. Yeah, but you'll find it there. So just know that if in your heart there's a trace of, oh, I don't want to get old. I see what's happening to older people. I believe with all my heart that need not happen to you. Don't you for one minute fear it. And everybody said, God loves you. And God says, though in Samuel, he says, those who honor me, I will honor. So let's believe for good things. Make sure your heart is filled with melody, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. How about Galatians 5:22? Apostle Paul says, he lists nine fruit of the Spirit. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's relationship, isn't it? Loving relationship with God. And from love, he says, the second fruit is joy. Is joy. Joy. And you know, I quoted it last Sunday, Nehemiah 8 verse 10. The joy of the Lord, the joy that he gives. It's your strength. Amen. Romans 14, 17. I didn't give you this one last Sunday. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God. What is it? Is it about meat and drink? Is it about being a vegetarian or not a vegetarian? No. I'm so glad it's not. I love my roast dinners. Wonder what's out there. We're having a meal later. If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. When you come to my house, I'll not have to put much in front of you. Back to the word. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What is it then? It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. Do you see that? That's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, right living, right relationship with God. How do you know about that? Through the book, through the word. The kingdom of God, it's not about meat and drink. It's about righteousness, right relationship with God. It's about peace. Talk more about peace next week. It's about joy in the Holy Ghost. Then there's another ingredient of true happiness, and that's contentment. Just say something very briefly about it. Philippians 4:11. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I've learned. I wonder if you've learned contentment yet. Have you learned contentment? You have to learn it. Paul says, I've learned contentment. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When everything's going great, praise the Lord. When everything's difficult, praise the Lord. That's what he means. I've learned. I mean, the other morning, as I was saying, I was talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you so much. I can see, I can hear, I can drive, and I do enjoy driving. People say, you live in Enfield. Oh, that's far away. How long does it take you? I said, about 45 minutes on a good day. Oh, that's such a long way. I said, I don't mind. I love driving. I said, what? You think you're sort of something wrong with you because you love driving. Yes, I know there are lots of people on the road who don't drive as they should. And a lot of my time, as those of you who drive, it's spent not driving yourself, but it's watching out for the others. Letting them go. And my advice would be, you see idiots around you, forgive me if that's the wrong word, but you see people driving like maniacs, my attitude is, let them go. And then pray that they're not going to wrap themselves around another car. And you see it. Paul says, I've learned contentment. And as I was driving along, I was thinking, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what car you have. Me, if I had the money, I'd have a big car. Not because I want to show off and say, look at the size of my car. But big cars, they're comfortable. They got these big, thick seats, and you sink into them. Nice. And my wife, she likes to ride shotgun. She rides in the back seat. And I think, you know, we used to have an old Ford Focus. Not a Focus, Scorpio. Beautiful car. Big. Soft seats, and oh, it was lovely. And sometimes you had to stop it and get out and check to see if the engine was running because it was so quiet. I mean, that's the ideal. But, you know, truly, as I was driving along, I said, Lord, thank you for my little A150 Mercedes that I have on lease. But thank you for it, Lord. And, you know, all these big cars were going by, and I didn't do it because I'm a Christian, but I wanted to go, yeah, but I didn't. But that's what I mean, contentment. You know, Ruth and I, we live in a council flat. You do? You don't have your own place? No. Did have years ago, and then God called us to Uganda. So things were changed. Things were different. But you know, I don't know about you. When I go open the door, and we have a little corridor and office there and bedroom and lounge there and bedroom through there and toilet and bathroom there. You've got the layout now. But as I open the door and go in, I think, I find myself often saying, home, sweet home. That's what I'm trying to get across. Be content. Be content. You want a mansion? Well, praise God. Jesus said, I'm preparing a mansion for you. In my Father's house, he said, there are many mansions, many dwelling places. Wow. It's going to be something really special. Wonder what the number will be on the door. May God help us to be content. Amen. Be content. Be content. Be content. Be content. A lot of marriages would stay healthy if the men would be content with the woman that God's given them, and vice versa, and not look for something new, something, a newer model. And it happens to both men and women. If it's happened to you, I understand. Jesus will be a great husband to you. If you've been left, I mean it sincerely. He's a great husband. He loves you. Loves you more than any man could, my sister. He gave himself for you. Gave his life for you. That's how much he loves you. He's a great husband. If he wants you to have another one at some point, he will guide you to the right one. Moving on quickly. Another ingredient of happiness is praise. I want to revisit this. Praise. Psalm 44, verse 1. Let's start there. David the psalmist said this: I will bless the Lord when things are going well. No. I will bless the Lord if I feel like it. No. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. No. What did he say? I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, difficult times, easy times, times when everything's going well, times when it appears in the natural everything's going wrong. He says, I will bless the Lord. I will praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. You and I should find ourselves often saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My mum, bless her, she has been in the presence of the Lord. She went to be with him when she was 80. That was 1992. And on the, just over the fireplace in her little house back in Northern Ireland, she had a little sign about this by this. And it had two words on it: Hallelujah anyway. And that was my mum in a nutshell. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. You know, bless her, she would drop something, and you hear sometimes people say, oh, no, and everybody rushes, what's up? You're expecting to find her on the floor, or him on the floor, you know. No, it's just something's been dropped. And my mum would say, oh, well, hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. Maybe you'll try that in this new year. Because when you say, oh no, what? And our hearts start going, boom, 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 boom. What is it? Just, what happened? Oh, I dropped a spoon. Yeah, what? I know I'm exaggerating, but I'm getting the message across. That's all that matters, really. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Praise. Hallelujah anyway. I'm so glad that Pastor Sherland and Sylvia sang this morning that song, about songs in the nighttime, because one of the best examples I know of two men who praised the Lord at all times was the Apostle Paul and Silas. You can read about it in your own time. It's Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and I'll just be spending a little moment at verses 22 to 25. Paul had listened to a young lady telling everybody, "Oh, this man, Paul, is a servant of God. Listen to him." Long story short, that all sounds so good. She had the right language, but unfortunately she had the wrong spirit. She had an evil spirit. She was using the spirit of divination. And Paul rebuked that spirit and cast it out of her. And her employers panicked because their money was gone. And they got really mad. And they found some religious people. And they got madder still. And the end of the story was that the magistrates, they tore their clothes. And they commanded that Paul and Silas be beaten. And the Bible says when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, and it was no holiday camp. I added that. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Look at this. And made their feet fast in the stocks. Question. If that were you, how would you feel? Think about it just for a moment. If that were you. All you've done is just done the will of God. Found a girl with an evil spirit. Cast it out. Just getting on doing the work and the will of God. You find yourself being flogged, the blood is running down your body, you're really smarting, you're thrown in this horrible dungeon of a prison, and to make matters even worse, your feet are put in stocks. How would you feel? Happy? And you haven't got your mobile phone. How would you feel? What would you say? And what would you do? What did Paul and Silas do? Verse 25. At midnight. Paul and Silas did what? Of course, I used to think you were so clever, but it's up there. Paul and Silas prayed. That's always good, isn't it? Paul and Silas prayed. And then what did they do? Amen. They sang praises to God. But here's what, I've been preaching many years, as you know. Somebody's just said, it feels like it. But a long time. And one of the things I love about God's word, you can read it all the years that I've read it and preached on it all the years I've done. And you read it and something comes out at you as if you've never seen it before. And what jumped out at me was this phrase, the prisoners heard them. And God did a mighty work in the prisoners, because later on the Bible says there was a great earthquake and everyone's chains fell off. Now, in a normal situation, would you not think if that happened in Wormwood Scrubs or Brixton or wherever, would you not think the prisoners would say, let's get out of here? But the miracle of miracles was not one prisoner moved. Nobody ran. The prison warden, he thought, it's all over now, and they'll kill me in the morning when they hear this. the prisoners of Biscay. And so he got his sword out and he's about to fall on it. And Paul says, stop. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And the prison warden went, and he looked, and nobody was running. In his heart, he thought, wow, this has to be God. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What was the answer? What answer did Paul and Silas give? How was the man to get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved. And that night, that warden was baptized, and his household were baptized. But the prisoners heard them. And here was something that I felt the Lord was asking me to highlight for you. Hold on to that phrase. Midnight, two servants of God, bleeding, hurting, in stocks. They prayed and they sang praises to God. The prisoners heard them. My question is, what do the prisoners around you and I hear coming from our mouths? I'm not talking about people behind the bars of Brixton or Wormwood or wherever. I'm talking about people who have lost their captivity because the devil has done a work in their life. You understand? What did they hear coming from our lips? The message was a bit long again this morning. Didn't like the music, did you? Bit tinny, wasn't it? Bit loud, wasn't it? You're laughing because you know it's true. It happens. But in all seriousness, what do the prisoners hear coming from your mouth and mine? You see, if it's praise to God, that will bless them. That'll give them hope. That'll let them see, hey, these people keep talking about Wellspring, the place to be. I can see why they say that. Yeah? Would you agree? So what do the people around you and I hear coming from our mouths? Is it the praise of God? Do we show the unbelievers around us the benefits of being a Christian? Do we show them the benefits of knowing God? Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hold on to that thought. If you don't remember anything else, hold on to that thought. When you're on the bus, you're surrounded by many prisoners. Watch what you say. When you're in the shops, watch what you say. And even in church, because not everyone in church is free. They might have they might have a big Bible. They might have a badge. They look the part. But really, God, as he looks at them, they're bound by this, bound by that, and bound by something else. You understand? So watch. May God help you and I to watch what we say. The fifth ingredient of true happiness, and I want to revisit this and then I'm going to finish. A fifth ingredient of true happiness is a pure heart. I touched on this last Sunday. I want to revisit it. I started at Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep the heart. Look after your heart. Your heart's your mind, you know, the inner man, the inner mind, inner person. Not talking about the pump that pumps the blood around your body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amplified Bible, keep your heart, guard your heart with all vigilance. Above all that you guard your heart. for out of it flow the springs of life. Psalm 119:11, David said this. He said, "Thy word, Lord, I have hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." When Moses died, God came to his assistant, Joshua. And God commissioned Joshua that from this moment on, he was to be the leader of probably 2.5-3 million people. And God said to Joshua, "Joshua, here's the key to your success. And I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to apply it to my life. I want you to apply it to yours. I believe this is the key to a happy new year, successful new year, a prosperous new year." I'm in Joshua 1 in verse 7. Joshua 1 verse 7. God said to Joshua, "Be strong." What does the Bible say? "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say." Oh, you got it. Good. So God said to Joshua, "Be strong." I mean, this was something, wasn't it? I'm the pastor of about 30 people in this church. But Joshua was going to be pastor of 2.5-3 million. Wow. And so God said to him, "Joshua, be strong. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law," the word, what God said, in other words. "Do all that Moses, my servant, commanded you." Here it is. Here's the secret. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And God said, if you will not turn from my word to the right or to the left, then he said, this is what will happen. You will prosper wherever you go. That sounds good, doesn't it? Hello? You'll prosper wherever you go. And then God said, this book of the law. And we can say this book, God's word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your way. I will bless the Lord at all times." Midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. God wants you and I to make sure that when we speak in line with this word. And we speak the word often. And you know something? There's a verse in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where God says that he takes a note, he makes a note in his book of those who often speak about him. You know the one I mean? Yeah, it's in there. You look for it. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein." Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Notice, for then you'll make your way prosperous. Notice, then you'll have good success. I wish that for you. I'm going to finish there for this morning, and we'll pick it up again next Sunday in the will of God. I'll talk a little bit more next week about the heart. I'll talk about the mind next week. I thought of calling next week's session "Mind Your Happiness," but I'm not sure about that. I will have it sorted by next Sunday, God willing. Importance of the mind, keeping the mind right. For instance, Isaiah 26, verse 3. "Thou, Lord, you will keep him, keep her in perfect peace, whose is stayed on thee." So I want to look at that next week. I believe it'll be good. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Talk a little bit about the heart, not the pump, but the heart, the mind, the spirit of a person. And I'm sure it will be helpful. But for now, let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that your word says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Just now, Father, I ask you to help anyone who as yet does not know you. They haven't got a personal relationship with you. Would you help that person right now to open their heart, open their life, and let you in? And let you take over? And let you give them a new life? Because Jesus, you said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Lord, your word says if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl be in Christ, anyone has a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then they're a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Father, we're just 4 days into a new year. I long for everybody in Wellspring to have a new year. Not a year like it was last year or the year before, but a new year. Lord, if there's anything that needs adjusting in our lives to ensure that this 2015 will be a new year, a different year, then, Lord, help us to make the adjustment, we pray. We think of Paul and Silas singing praises at midnight. Lord, will you help us so that in the midnight times of our lives, we also will praise you. Help us to be a praising people. Help us to watch, like your word says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my Savior. Help us to keep a watch on our mouths so that what we say, Lord, as your word says in Ephesians 4, so that what we say will minister favor to those who hear it. This we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.